Amen. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Kate and Molly. I heard them practicing that last Sunday after the service and couldn't wait to hear it again. So thank you, Kate. Not only are you a state champion, but you're an amazing singer as well. Appreciate that. Thank you, Molly, for singing as well. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Ephesians. Big surprise there. Yes, it's true. We're almost out of verses, so we're going to have to go to another book. And we will do that next week. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, and we'll go to verse number 19. Verse number 19, the book of Ephesians. I have to admit that most of the time, as we read Ephesians 6, usually by now, in the armor of God, we've quit reading, or at least quit paying attention, as we get to the end of chapter number 6. We've already discussed the armor of God. We've discussed the battle that we're in. We've discussed the enemy that we're fighting. And we've discussed the importance of prayer in battle. And then last week, the importance of unity in battle as well. I know that it's maybe not fair to quite say this because I typically have to listen to myself preach. But I have never heard a sermon on these verses, verse 19 and 20, that we will look at this morning. And I've never preached a sermon from verse 19 and 20 either as we work through Ephesians chapter number 6. Most of the time, by the time, as I've mentioned, by the time we get here, we already have said, well, the good stuff is past. I'm going to move on to the book of Philippians and kind of look forward to what that has to say. But this morning, partly because I'm stubborn and partly because I think it's important that we look at these final two verses, we're going to discuss the final salutation, the final things that the Apostle Paul has to say in regarding to this armor, and most importantly, what he's really getting at to the crux of the issue and what we should be doing with the armor that we have. And so, if you remember from verse 18, it said this, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." And then verse 19, three quick words. He says, "And for me." He says, "And pray for me." Imagine being an ambassador, as the Apostle Paul is going to call himself in just a moment, in a foreign land. And the ambassador, as you understand, the role of an ambassador does not speak his own message, but he speaks the message of the king that he represents. And the authority of that message and the authority of the messenger comes from the one who sent him. In these verses, verse 19 and 20 this morning, the Apostle Paul reminds us and reminds believers that the ministry works by the power of prayer. Interesting that you will note as we look through these two verses this morning, even though the Apostle Paul is imprisoned at this very moment, even though we recognize that most likely he was chained to a Roman soldier as he is writing the letter to the church at Ephesus, and maybe even looking up at the soldier that is guarding him that he is chained to, and taking his pieces of armor and applying that to the spiritual warfare, even in the midst of understanding that, he does not ask for the church, as he says, and for me. In other words, not only pray with supplications to the Lord in the Spirit, not only pray with perseverance and for all the saints, but he says, pray for me. He does not say, pray for my comfort, that I'll be comforted in this prison that I'm in this situation that I am in. He does not say, pray for different necessities that he has in this particular letter, but instead he is going to ask that they pray for something else. He is going to ask that they pray for boldness in proclaiming the gospel. For boldness in proclaiming the gospel. Really, when you think about it, when you read from Genesis to Revelation, it's a picture of the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is most likely why you are here today, because you heard and accepted the gospel, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, as 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 says. The gospel, the Bible is about the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel. I'm not going to get into politics and all that thing, but I just want to make this one quick reference. What America needs, what the world needs, what people need is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel. We need to be changed from the inside out, not from the outside in. And there's only one that does that. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ changes the heart of mankind. And so that is why, with understanding of that, that the Apostle Paul, even though he is in distress, even though he is in bondage, even though I'm sure he's uncomfortable, he says, and pray for me. Well, what does he ask for them to pray for? And for me. As he says in verse number 19, he says, that utterance may be given unto me. He says, I'm praying that utterance may be given unto me. The Apostle Paul just also reminds me sometimes that even everyone loves to read and study the Apostle Paul. Paul was a missionary, theologian, church planter, an apostle, and yet he needed prayer. That makes me feel better about myself, right? I hope you pray for me. I seek to pray for you, and I pray that you're praying for me. But the Apostle Paul, even in the midst of all his great accomplishments, even though he had accomplished great things for the Lord, he still needed prayer. No one is beyond their need for prayer. Pray for your pastor. Thank you. Pray for teachers. Pray for your Sunday school leaders. Pray for missionaries. Pray for bold gospel proclamation in our world. Because when we pray, we realize that the gospel is advanced and fueled by the prayers of other Christians. So he says, pray for me. And then he says this in verse number 19, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. What does this mean? We could have different understandings of the understanding of utterance, but I think a basic understanding of that is God-given words. God-given words. He says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. You know what this tells me about Paul? It tells me this. He realized that he can't depend upon his own understanding. He realizes he can't depend upon his own power. He realizes that he can't even depend upon his own words that he has to say. You know, sometimes I feel exactly like this. There's a statement that says a preacher may stand boldly before men, but internally he is on his knees knocking at the gates of heaven for power. Trust me, you've heard me tell stories before that the last thing I ever thought I would do would be a preacher. And I have to admit, even as the last words of the song that Kate sang this morning, I said, well, here I go, right? We're going up there and there's nobody else in line behind me. I've got to go and here we go. I have to depend upon the Lord's power. I have to pray for the Lord's anointing with what I say, that utterance would be given unto me. And so the Apostle Paul recognizes that he has no power in and of himself. He doesn't have the right thoughts. He doesn't have the right words. He doesn't have the right understanding. So he's asking people to pray that godly words and godly thoughts and godly understanding would be given to him in this situation. And for me, that utterance would be given to me. Lord, give me the right words. Help me to communicate the gospel clearly. The gospel is too important to rely upon human wisdom and human power alone. The gospel is the difference between life and death. The gospel is the difference between heaven and hell. The gospel is the difference in a life that is lived for the glory and the power of God and a life that is lived away from God. The gospel changes everything. The gospel changed my family and changed my life and what Christ has done for me. The gospel changed Joanna and her family and her father and her parents because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And countless story and testimony, and each one in here today have been changed by the gospel. We pray, he says, that utterance would be given unto me. The gospel, as we'll recite together from Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel changes lives. I've told you stories before, and we could go on and on. I'd love to hear more and more of the stories of how you came to know the Lord and what the Lord did for you. But one of my favorite ministries I've been in part of is Recovery Through Christ Ministries in Jasper, Virginia, and how we had a drug recovery home there. And these men that would get saved and come to the Lord and to see their lives totally transformed by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you stories of a man by the name of Mike Owens. And I would go, he lived on a street called Elytown, all right? And I had not been in Virginia terribly long, and it was way back in the, as they would say, the hollows of Virginia. And you go back in the holler back there, and someone had taken a thing of spray paint and changed the E to a F, and it was called Flytown. Well, I didn't know. I kept saying, you live out in Flytown. He said, no, it's Elytown. But anyway, and I was sitting in his house one night, and I was talking to him about the Lord. I may have shared this one with you, but I was talking to him about the Lord. And I said, Mike, would you accept Christ as your Savior? He said, no. And I said, would you? I said, you're saying no to God. And he said, I've never said no to God. And I said, Mike, you're saying no to God right now. And he got mad. He said, leave. Leave my house. I don't want you to come back again. I said, okay, Mike, I'll leave. And as I went to the door, I looked back at his table. I can still remember him sitting there. And I said, Mike, I'm going to leave, and I won't bother you anymore about Christ. But I said, I want you to make me a promise. If you ever trust Christ as your Savior, would you please come and find me and tell me? He said, I will. And with that, I left. Mike was on a prayer sheet that I had, and I prayed for Mike every single day. Mike worked at the Wallens Ridge State Prison in Virginia. Do you know what God did? God teamed him up with a Christian coworker. We prayed for Mike, and we prayed for Mike, and Mike had a shift change, and the new man he worked with was a Christian. That man, after several years of witnessing to Mike, Mike accepted Christ as his Savior. I'm teaching on a Wednesday night up in the front of the church, and we had these big wooden doors, and they made a lot of noise when they opened. And I remember I was sitting there teaching. It was halfway through the lesson, and that big door opened, and it closed, and in walked Mike Ely. I hadn't seen him for 3 years. Sat down in the back row. After church, I couldn't wait to finish teaching that night, and I came, I finished, and I closed in prayer, and here came Mike, gave me a huge hug. He said, I promised you I'd tell you when I accepted Christ. I got saved last week and gave me a hug. The gospel changes lives. Paul didn't pray for comfort. He didn't pray for other things. He says, I'm praying that you and for me. It's so important, this message that God has given me. I pray for me, he says, that utterance would be given unto me. And then he continues in verse number 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me. And what's he want boldness for? What's he want utterance for? He says this, that I may open my mouth boldly. He says, I'm praying that God would give me the power to open my mouth boldly. The gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important that sometimes we need to pray, or all the time we need to pray, that God will give us the strength to open our mouths. I've made reference to this before, but you remember the Casting Crown song that he talks about? And he says, and here I go again, talking about the rain and mulling over things that won't live past today, right? The gospel, to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what's so great about sharing the gospel. Number one, it's not your gospel, it's God's gospel. Number two, it's not by your power, but by God's power. Number three is the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of the people that are hearing it. What your responsibility is to share the gospel that he has given. It's so nice to know that you're not responsible for saving somebody. You're responsible for sharing the truth. which I'm so glad you brought this up, because we have these tracks in the hallway that we have that has the gospel in them, in the church information. You say, Josh, this is just a track. No one ever reads that. I got another story for you, and I've probably shared this a little bit with you before, but I was out walking one evening, and there was a man outside the library. He had just gotten out of the army, and he had found himself to be homeless, and he was outside the closed library using the internet, the Wi-Fi, outside the library. And I was walking by the sidewalk, and I stopped and talked to him for a minute. He told me his story. He was a homeless situation, all these things happening. And I had a church tract with me. And I said, hey, young man, can I please give you this? And I went through it a little bit, and then I left it with him, and I went on my way. 2 years later, no kidding, 2 years later, I'm walking up the street after a haircut, actually. I remember what I was doing. And I was walking up the street, and there's a car parked on the curb, and the door flings open in front of me. I thought, I'm going to be kidnapped and taken to Mexico. Right? It's over right now. Here I am. Josh is gone. Tell my wife and kids they're about to throw me in the vehicle, and the door slings open in front of me, and this guy jumps out in front of me, and I was like, oh, what is going on? He said, hey. I said, hey. I've been looking for you. I said, you have? Why? What's going on? I've been looking for you. Do you remember me? And I'm thinking, should I remember you? I don't know what's going on here. He said, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't remember you. I'm sorry. He said, I am a young man that you talked to on the outside of the library 2 years ago. He said, you told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want to let you know that I read what you gave me. And he said, I've not stopped reading my Bible for 2 years. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I now have a place to live, and I'm serving the Lord. Just from one conversation. You know what that's called? That's the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what I do. It's what Jesus does. And so no wonder Paul is not concerned about his bonds or these other things. He says, listen, pray with prayer and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may give it unto me, because I want to speak God's word, and that I'll have boldness, he says, in verse number 19, and that I will open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me just say something real quick. I wasn't planning on going into this for a moment this morning. Boldly. Why are we so ashamed to share the message of Jesus Christ? Paul says, I want to have boldness to proclaim. We're bold about so many other things in this world. I'm not going to step on your toes, but you might want to tuck them under the seat for just a moment. But listen, we're bold about so much, but when it comes to Christ, we sometimes revert to a whisper. Oh, I don't want to upset you. I don't want to do something to offend you. I'm not saying you're doing it to offend, but we are to boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. He says, pray for me. We need prayer. We need help. We need understanding. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to proclaim the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would proclaim salvation through Jesus Christ. We can go on from Romans this morning. We won't. If I get to Romans, I'll never leave. But if we go to Romans, we talk about how death came by Adam and life comes through Jesus Christ. Have we forgotten the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Remember the rich man? He lives in comfort his whole life, and he dies and he goes to hell. And Lazarus, who was tormented, dies and goes to Abraham's bosom. And we understand that the rich man, he says, would you go tell my family about this place? He says, no, if they won't believe who they have, they won't believe us, right? Could I get just a drop of water to cool my tongue? I'm in torment day and night, he says. Have we forgotten that we must be bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ? That we must proclaim his message of his grace and his love to all mankind through his work upon the cross. And so Paul says, pray for me as I proclaim the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, even as Paul is there in Athens, his proclamation there on Mars Hill, as he talks about God and who he is and what he has done, and then he says, this is what God expects. He now commands all men everywhere to repent. Paul, as he's writing to the church in Rome, the verse we'll recite together in just a moment, where he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, of forgiveness of sins through the work of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, pray for me in verse 18 and 19. Praying always in verse 18, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And then he says this in verse number 20. He says, for which I am an ambassador. I mentioned this a moment ago, but an ambassador is someone that speaks with the authority of someone else. When you share the gospel, it's God's authority, God's power, and God's words that you are speaking. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. As I mentioned, an ambassador was oftentimes understood as representing a king from a foreign land. Christians live on earth and are representing the God of heaven. The chains, the bonds, the persecution did not cancel his mission. We recognize that. The persecution we may have from sharing the gospel does not change the truth of the gospel. The world needs the gospel more than ever. We live in a dark world. The Bible says in John 1 that man loves darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil. The world needs the message of Jesus Christ and of his salvation. We represent Christ wherever we go. He says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And also, you see here mentioned for the second time in verse 20. It kind of shows me a little bit of Paul's humanity here. He says, I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. He says it again. He says, pray for me that I would speak boldly. He says in verse number 19 that I would open my mouth boldly. And then in verse number 20 that he would speak boldly, courageously with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, if you really believe in something, we speak boldly about it, don't we? Right? Who in here likes Chevrolet? Nobody. Who likes Toyota? Who likes Ford? You know, well, there we go. See, Jason, he's gone to shouting now, right? But that's how it is, right? If there's something we like, we're excited about it, right? We share about it. You know, if you have some food you like or food you don't like, right? You have a bad experience at a restaurant, we get on the internet, we write a bad review. We're going to tell everybody about what happened, right? Or whatever it may be. And so we speak boldly about things that we enjoy or don't enjoy, whatever it may be. But Paul says, I pray for me that I'll be bold with the gospel, bold with what God has given to me. Should we not be the same way about the greatest message that's ever been, the message of forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that not something to be bold about? Has he changed your life? Do you know that through Jesus Christ you have eternal life in heaven? You shall never perish, he says in John 10, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. For I am persuaded, he says in Romans 8, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Boldly, what God has done for me. Did you know when I leave this world, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I will be in eternity forever because of Jesus. That gives me boldness because I know what God has done. And I know what the world needs. What the world is offering is empty and vain. And doesn't satisfy. Remember what Jesus says to the woman at the well? I'll give you living water. This water here, it's temporary satisfaction, but I give you living water. Christian, can we be bold with the proclamation of the gospel? I have to admit, I mean, let's just be honest for just a moment. Let's imagine ourselves writing this letter to the church at Ephesus and say, I'm just going to be honest with you. I got some sores where the chains are bothering me, right? Just going to be honest with you. The food stinks here, right? I'm just going to be honest with you. It's dark, it's miserable, and the guard is grumpy. Anyway, moving on, and then we go on to something else. I'm not saying Paul didn't have those thoughts or whatever it may be, but that's not what we see here in this passage. He says, pray for me, because I'm praying that I'll have utterance to preach the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me that I'll be bold and open my mouth with the gospel. He says, I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. I represent him. I say his words. I live by his power. And pray for me, in verse 20, that I may speak boldly. How? As I should speak, or as I ought to speak. How I should speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask ourselves, as with the importance of the gospel message, do we allow people to see Christ in our lives? Are we representing the gospel faithfully? Are we ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do? Speak as I should, or speak as I ought, at the end of verse number 20. I have to ask myself this. Gospel and the power of the gospel and the message of the gospel is not optional. It's a divine responsibility. Christ has commanded his followers to proclaim the good news. When we remain silent, the world does not hear the message of salvation. Don't raise your hand, but answer this question in your mind. Who told you about the gospel? Where did you hear about Christ? Probably someone you knew. Maybe it was at church, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a co-worker. My youth pastor in Virginia, his name was Freddie. His mom was a praying woman. Carol was her name. Same situation. She prayed for her son, prayed for her son, prayed for her son. He did not get saved. He grew up in church. And same situation. He ended up on an assembly line in an electronic warehouse. The man right beside him was a Christian. Freddie got saved, became the youth pastor at First Baptist Church in Pennington Gap. God works. We proclaim the gospel. We share the gospel with boldness. God places people into our lives. Co-workers, friends, neighbors, family members. Many of them may not ever hear the gospel until we tell them. So Paul says, pray for me that I would have boldness with the gospel. Three things and we're done this morning. Paul's request to be prayed for as he prays since the gospel reminds us of these three applications. Number one, true gospel ministry requires prayer. It requires prayer. The power of God comes through the power of prayer. The presentation and the work of the gospel requires prayer. Number two, gospel proclamation sometimes requires boldness. Sometimes it requires boldness to speak maybe when we're afraid to speak and when we're afraid to open our mouths. Say, well, this person, they're going to get upset with me. I've had that happen. Maybe you have as well. I don't know. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. When I was an auto mechanic 20-something years ago, working my way through seminary, the guy beside me, his name was Bob. He didn't like the gospel. You know why? His wife was the piano player at the Baptist church. He was mad all the time. And I would put on Christian radio, and if I walked away, he'd unplug my radio. And then I'd come back and plug it back in. You know, I didn't play it loud, and I wasn't trying to be annoying. And he'd unplug the radio again. Sometimes the gospel requires boldness to share Christ. You never know what the Holy Spirit will do in that life. The gospel proclamation requires prayer. The gospel proclamation requires boldness. And then number three, simple application here. Every believer is an ambassador of the gospel. Josh, what are we paying you for? That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? That's if you're the pastor, you're supposed to share the gospel. That's your job. No, every believer is an ambassador for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell people about who he is and what he has done and what he has done for you. Paul said in prison chains, yet the greatest concern, as already mentioned, was not his comfort, it was the spread of the gospel. Will we be concerned with the same issue? I read this illustration this week. It's a story of a lighthouse keeper who was given enough oil to keep the light burning each night to guide ships safely to the shore. One evening, a man came needing oil for his lamp. The keeper gave him some. Later that evening, another person came needing oil for heat, and again he shared. Soon the oil ran out. That night, the lighthouse went dark, and ships crashed on the rocks. The keeper was blamed because the oil had been given for one purpose, to keep the light shining. The same way, Christian, God has given us the gospel for one purpose, to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ into this dark world. I know I'm a pastor, and I know that you may think I'm biased here, but as I said earlier, what the world needs is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What homes need, what marriages need, what our communities and our town and our country and our nation and our world needs is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God can transform. So will we be vessels willing to proclaim how? Boldly. You didn't say it. Proclaim how? Boldly. Is that fun? Is that easy to do? Right? No. It's not always easy. But with the power of God through prayer, we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with boldness. One final story. I've told you before, my dad was saved later in life. And I say later, I guess in his later 20s, but my mom was a Christian. She married him. He wasn't saved, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. My dad then led his dad to the Lord. I've told you that story just a few days before he died. But there was one brother. His name was Thomas, my uncle. He had never accepted Christ. Everybody else, even Ernie, this is all my family on the Osteen side, all lives in South Florida, Fort Pierce, West Palm Beach. That's where all the Osteens were from. But we ended up coming to New Mexico as missionaries. But my uncle Ernie, after my dad got saved, my dad prayed for him for years and years and years, and he got saved. We called him Ernie the Alligator because he would jump off the piers and wrestle alligators there in Florida. I don't know why, but that's what he did, all right? And so he was a tough man. He was a cement truck mechanic and worked for a concrete company. My dad worked for the concrete company. My grandfather's name was Thomas. That's my middle name. He would load semi-trucks with cinder blocks by hand. And he was such a strong man. I mean, you can tell that I inherited that. And he was such a strong man that he would take a dolly with 800 to 1,000 pounds of cinder blocks and just pull it back and pull it up the ramp into the train car. I mean, just unbelievable. He was an airplane mechanic in World War II. And then after that, he began to work for the concrete company, which is where my dad worked as an accountant. Anyway, Thomas, the oldest brother, had never accepted Christ. My dad had talked to him. Uncle Ernie had gone to talk to him. He had never accepted Christ. He was getting older and he was getting frailer. So my dad called me. I was pastoring in Virginia at the time. He said, "Son, I wonder if you would come and try to talk to Thomas about the Lord before he dies." I said, "Daddy, he's not going to listen to me. There's been much more people that have talked to him than me. I mean, the other pastors have been there and all those things." He said, "Son, why don't you just try?" I said, "Okay." Drove down to South Florida, go to Uncle Tommy's house. And I sat there in his living room and I said, "Tommy," I said, "you know, everybody in your family knows Christ. But you, And we shared and we talked back and forth. And finally, I was, after sharing the gospel from the scripture to Tommy, I said, "Tommy, would you like to know Jesus as your Savior, Tommy?" He said, "Yeah, I would." My dad could hardly control himself. He's over there crying. It's the last brother, the oldest one. He's going to die soon. And Tommy, I showed him from the scripture the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Thomas Osteen accepted Jesus as his Savior right there. He didn't live much longer past that. But the gospel changed his life. Even to the point, even though he was older, he wanted to try to start going to church and trying to get places. The gospel changed his life. You know, I'll be honest, if I didn't go that day and I hadn't gotten over my fear to share to Uncle Thomas, you know, I'm scared of him. He's older than me. He's wiser than me. But God gave me boldness to share the message of Christ, and Tommy got saved. Who do you know that needs to hear about Jesus Christ? Who do you know that we should be praying for and for me that I'd share with my neighbor? And for me, I got a coworker that doesn't know Christ. And for me, I have a grandchild that doesn't know the Lord. And for me, and we can go on and on. And for me, who can we pray for that we can have boldness to share the message of Jesus Christ with those around us? And for me, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Joanne and Bethany are going to come this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Do you have somebody on your mind that you could use those three words of the Apostle Paul at the beginning of verse number 19? And for me, that I'd be bold to present the gospel to this person. Take a moment there in your seat. Just talk to the Lord. Pray for that person that he's put on your heart that doesn't know Christ. And for me, that boldness would be given. And for me, that I'd open my mouth. And for me, that I'd share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around me. You can keep your heads bowed for just one moment. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who in here today would raise your hand and say, "Josh, God laid someone on my heart, and I prayed for them today"? Would you raise your hand? God laid someone on my heart, and I prayed for them today. Thank you. Many, many, many hands. Praise the Lord. You can look back up here at this time. Monty will put our final verse up on the board. All right, let's stand to our feet. We'll say this together. And think of that this week. Remember those three words. And for me. And for me. Let's read this together. Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. Let's say that again, nice and loud. Ready? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16. I'll close us in prayer. I would encourage you, if any men would like to come, we meet for prayer in Jim's Sunday School classroom for the men's conference. So if you'd like to come and pray with us after service, we'd love to have you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done. Lord, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the message of forgiveness of sins through the work of Jesus upon the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share this great news with the world around us. Give us boldness with wisdom. Lord, help us to be able to open and speak freely of the work of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Lord, we know that what this world needs is Jesus. We thank you for what you have done. Lord, we pray that you would work in the hearts of those that were prayed for today that may not know Christ. I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would reveal the truth of Christ and the sinfulness of sin. We thank you, Lord, for this day. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.